Hello, I'm here at the Edinburgh Fringe. I'm with Luke Toulson. How is it going, Luke?
It's going very well. And yourself?
Yeah, really good, thanks. I'm enjoying it. It's actually sunny right now, which is quite nice.
I mean, it's sunny by Edinburgh standards. It's I think we'd call this overcast, but it's not raining, so yeah, we'd take that.
That's the important thing. So your show, Grandpa, Hitler and Me. Tell me about it.
Well, it's based on 200 letters that my grandfather gave to my grandmother while he was serving with the Royal Engineers in France and North Africa during the Second World War. We didn't know these as a family. We didn't know these letters existed until quite recently. No one's read them since Granny read them over 70 years ago. I've read them, and I've created a story out of them, telling the story of Grandpa's war, but focusing very much, obviously, on the letters and his attempts to sort of stay in touch with his wife and young daughters.
It's an amazing story for an Edinburgh show. It's like, it's not just another, you know, there's a real story to it, which I think is important, like, to kind of stay original. Tell me about some of the things you read in the letters, or is this ruining the show?
No.
Go on.
We can tell that, I mean, there's great things in the letters. There's he talks often when he's in North Africa. We have a lot of fun with those letters because, well, firstly, the example is that he never actually says he's in North Africa, obviously, because you're not allowed to say where the troops are. But if you read one of the letters, you can work it out, because he writes, O'Meara and I, this O'Meara is a friend of his, O'Meara and I have just had 48 hours leave and we went to, but then he's crossed it out because he's obviously worried about, but then he doesn't cross out the next line where he says, where we saw the pyramids and Sphinx. So you're like, okay, I think we can work out.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you didn't think about that one. No.
Thank God Alan Turing was on our side, you know, if they had cracked that code. Oh, look, it's my girlfriend ringing me. Is my girlfriend allowed to join us on this not technically.
Are you answering this during the interview? All right, here we go.
Hey, baby, I'm just doing this interview.
He's doing an interview.
Can I call you back in a moment? Okay, no worries, bye.
Might leave that in.
She's an actress, she'll do bloody anything to get on air. You know, sorry about that.
It's okay.
It's easier to answer it, otherwise then she'll keep ringing back and leaving messages and text. Why are you answering the phone? Because this is a perfect example. It sounds now like it's set up, but it's a perfect example of how communication has changed. Over 70 years ago during the Second World War.
I was going to ask about
that. They're writing letters, and at, during the later stages of the year of the war, sort of 1943, letters are taking 2 months to get from England to North Africa and then 2 months to get back. So you're having this huge delayed conversation, which obviously brings all sorts of stresses and strain to their relationship. And then you see here just the perfect example of, like, me and my girlfriend.
But you should have turned your phone on silent, so it's your fault.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm not questioning the thing. It is on silent, but I can still feel the vibrate. But the thing, we can talk on the phone, like, several times a day, texting, Facebook, FaceTime, all these sorts of things. It's just, I don't think we realize the sense of isolation and separation that, this is something I don't talk about in the show, but Grandpa in the letters, he keeps referring to the moon as a point of contact between him and Granny, because that's something that they can both see.
Yeah.
And it's the same moon in France as it is in England, as it is in North Africa. And it's just, whereas we now are obviously never separated because we both have these little digital devices in our pockets.
It's quite sad, really. Like, were the letters written, like, was there a lot of nice romance?
Oh, no, I mean, it's almost, to someone else reading the letters, I think they might actually find them a little bit repetitive after a while, because essentially, he is just writing constantly, look, I'm desperate to get home. I love you. I long for you. Send my love to the kids. This is something I have to do. He believes very passionately that this is his duty, and his duty and this sacrifice of being away from this family that he loves. I mean, he'd only been married 2 years before the war started. He'd only met his wife, Granny, 4 years before. They had one daughter and then another one while he's in France. And so he desperately, the whole letters are constantly about this. And then obviously he's referring to the stuff that he's doing. And when he refers to meeting the king, that happens. And then climbing a pyramid, that happened. Dunkirk, he spends...
It must be so interesting reading this. Can we expect to cry? That's what I'm worried about, coming to see it.
it was never my intention to write a romantic show or a sentimental show. And I, as a bloke and as a cynic, have tried to constantly keep it away from any sort of mawkish sentimentality. But I'll be honest with you, I've had a, and it does tend to be ladies, maybe because men are unwilling to admit to such, but lots of ladies have sort of referred to how touching they find it. You can't help but fall in love with Grandpa, whether he's, not him particularly, but maybe a representative of a bygone era of chivalry. And romance and duty and all these sort of things which we perhaps don't associate with men sort of texting pictures
not,
of their dicks
these
days.
We don't want any of that, no. Nobody likes that.
There was no dick pics back there in the 40s. And so I think he is. And then at the end of the war, I talk about their lives after the war. And I think a lot of people find that quite sort of a touching moment.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But I'm sure a lot of them are obviously comparing it to their own experiences of their own grandparents. Because I think even if you're young and in your 20s now, your grandparents wouldn't have been involved in the Second World War. But I think a lot of things of that era, that time, that sort of... The sort of the stiff upper lip is not right, but that okay, this is what we've got to do. We've got to get on with it. And okay, if Hitler's going to try and take our country, we've got to defend it, and then we can get back to just being family. Which is so, I think that will resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah. Have you had any backlash for the word Hitler being in the title?
Surprisingly not. I think in Edinburgh...
anything goes.
There's a lot worse than having Hitler in the title. It sort of had to be in there just because it's very... The show is very... What I didn't realise is how sort of personal Grandpa saw his relationship with Hitler. It was Hitler in particular who was keeping him apart from his wife. And so there's a very definite connection there. And then obviously the connection between me and my grandpa. So the title seems just the quickest way
like
to
it.
Specify.
Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm just I'm explaining the creative decision behind it, Talia, you know. Anyway, sorry.
It's okay. So where can people see it this Fringe?
They can see it at 3:45 at the Stand 5. It's on every day. And it's a lot of fun. The room's air-conditioned. There's a nice bar next door.
This is all important stuff, you know.
Exactly. It's a much funnier show than people would perhaps imagine given the context. But I'm a stand-up comedian. I'm not interested in telling a romantic story. Yeah. I want people laughing.
You've got to make it funny.
No, exactly.
At the end of the day. Yeah. Cool. Everyone go and see it. Thanks, Luke.
Thank you very much.